Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please listen or subscribe by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or like us on iTunes. Now here's Pastor Michael with the continued Marriage March, Couples at Work. The title of the message today is Couples at Work. We're going to go to Corinth for a moment. Corinth in the biblical times had the same issues I believe that we have today in the United States as married and single Christians. Paul was an expert on sexual sin and the church. 1 and 2 Corinthians laid a foundation for us in many ways. It teaches us not to tolerate it. It teaches us right and wrong and to exercise church discipline. It teaches us that the body is to be cared for as we are the temple of God. During the Corinthians' time, it was a society of immoral philosophies and religion. Corinth was oriented as a sexual society. Aphrodite and the Acropolis faiths taught that the body was to be fed immorally and in selfishness. There were thousands of prostitutes and practices of using them in the different religions. Indulgence ran rampant in the Roman Empire, and it is alive in our world today, especially in the United States. There is a biblical definition of purity which has suffered from the fall of Adam, and our media has played on those desires among men. Commercials selling products using sexuality. Billboards, magazines used to sell products with advertising of the supposed perfect women. Whole industries based on amusement and fantasy which rots the mind and gives us false desires. Men are bombarded with it everywhere they look. Then with women, it's another realm because they are stimulated more mentally. Movies that portray the man rescuing the woman. Romance novels and soap operas that bring the mental aspect around. The knight in shining armor, the man who sweeps her off her feet. It's pornography for women. All of these things give false hope, and when our wife doesn't look like the women in the pictures, and the man does not live up to the romantic standards of Fabio, then the mind wanders and can lead to fantasizing and even adultery, or leaving your spouse. We need to be careful about these things. People from Corinth obviously wrote to Paul to have these questions answered, and he did his best scripturally to share with them what the Lord would have them to do. It says in verse 1, "Now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman." Boom! If you're single, it's not good. Verse 2, "But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband, to avoid fornication." The word there is the word porneros. It's the Greek word where pornography comes from. It's the same word that describes the devil when he wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. The word evil and the word that they use for the devil is the use of porneros. We need to avoid it, and in this culture, as well as Corinth, it was to be avoided. I remember hearing for years how Charlton Heston was mocked by the Hollywood community for being true to his spouse. They were always saying how he'd stay with the same woman all those years and not want to be with anyone else, how boring that would be, and thinking in the physical while he understood the sanctity of marriage. Genesis chapter 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." God says everything is good. This is the first time God says something is not good. I will make him a co-responder. He took something out of his side, not a rib because it's not specific, and created her. And in his design to avoid sexual sin is every man should have his own wife. Like I said before, I have one. I even have a license for her. Sexual sin is to be mortified until marriage and satisfied when you are married. That's hard in today's society. When I was in high school, I, as everybody else, knew who the promiscuous girls were because they all had the reputation of it. We live in a different world today because girls go after guys now instead of the old way a guy would pursue the girl. Sadly, girls in high school and junior high school, as this society is marred by the fall, it was a consummation of the two becoming one flesh. The phrase used most of marriage from the beginning to the end of the Bible is the two becoming one flesh. Then adultery breaks it. Or the one spouse leaves and they break it. Or we are single and we connect with several people and continually join and break those bonds. No wonder kids are committing suicide. They're cutting, they're destroying themselves over these issues. It's a complicated spiritual act that should take place among two individuals who make a covenant before God, not for leisurely entertainment. Let every man have his own wife, and every wife have their own husband. Verse 3. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. In the marriage, the husband is to give back to Abu Dodomi, the wife, which is due her. The husband owes it to the wife to give back intimacy, and vice versa. It is wrong for a husband to force the wife. It is wrong for him to refuse the wife, and vice versa. There is a giving back and a due benevolence. The desire is to be directed towards one another. There are times, though, when one spouse is sick, or one becomes the caregiver of another, and they can't be mad over it because then love becomes a much deeper thing. There are vast differences between a man and a woman. My best friend and I would go for hours without talking. We would hang out. My wife enjoys conversing and will at times, and I would rather sit and vegetate in front of the boob tube. My wife enjoys certain programs and movies that I'd rather not see, but then I enjoy shows and movies she would rather sleep through. But even in the differences that God has made us to be in our lives, our responsibility is to understand that, and we need to give back to one another. Verse 4. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. The spouse is to render to the other spouse as a ministry to the Lord. It is wrong for a spouse to refuse a partner to use this as a way to get back at a spouse or to use it in some negative way. God frowns on it, and it will cause problems. Sometimes healing may come from this after an argument. Intimacy is never to be used as a manipulative tool and will bring problems as the desire there is God-given and by His design. Verse 5. Do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because your lack of self-control. In the Greek, do not steal or rob from one another except for fasting and prayer, which most of you won't do that. I don't believe today the church in our country gives itself to prayer and fasting. This is saying here that you shouldn't use your intimacy as a weapon against your spouse, that you shouldn't leave your spouse and go have intimacy with other people, whether it be emotional, physical, or spiritual. All of it's spiritual, whether it's emotion or physical or psychological. When the fast is over, you start eating again. And there is also another appetite that needs satisfaction, a sexual appetite. So come together and satisfy that. God designed it. Sex is for his purposes. And if we don't follow it, Satan can get the advantage on our marriages. I have seen it. That a spouse leaves due to lack of intimacy. Even when that spouse is sick and the intimacy can't continue. Yes, there is an honor in that, but I've seen the spouse leave due to that lack of intimacy. We see it today as he's destroying homes, destroying marriages, and he's destroying children. Verse 6, I say this as a concession, not as a command. This is not a commandment. Paul is saying this. In 1 Corinthians 9:5, he says, don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brother and Peter? Some of the apostles were married. Peter was married. Paul's not condemning marriage here. He's saying as he was beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, and left for dead, that he's glad he didn't drag a wife through it. Peter's wife was crucified in front of him. David Livingston went to Africa to preach the gospel. His wife went with him, but she got too sick. So she went back to England and supported him as they were apart for many years. The church was uncaring towards them, and he asked his wife Mary to come back with him because of the criticism, and because eventually, due to that criticism of the church, she died. Verse 9, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it's better to marry than to burn with passion. To constantly be burning and to be satisfied in a unique way. The agape is pleasant. Eros is not. Agape is 1 Corinthians 13. Paul is saying it's better to marry than to burn. But that doesn't mean you go find anyone with a pulse and marry them because you want to be intimate. And I've seen many marriages end up in divorce due to teens rushing into marriage because they can't control themselves. That's not why you get married. God is involved in it, and he knows someone who is suited for you physically, mentally, and spiritually, someone by biology and by mentality. We need to be careful of this. We shouldn't just jump into marriage. And people do this sometimes because they want somebody so desperately because they're lonely or they're alone. So they just go with the first person that steps into their life. And I want you to note this, single people. Realize this, it's better to be single and desiring to be married than getting married hastily and desiring to be single. I know it's true, even though I'm greatly blessed to be married. I believe my marriage will last because of Christ. And marriage is not an arena strictly made by God so we can be happy. God will use marriage to conform you into the image and likeness of his Son. And that at times can be painful. It is painful for me right now. We as believers in marriage who are fighting with our spouses normally have lordship problems in our lives that causes those issues in our marriage. Because one of the spouses is not submitting to God. The Lord should be working through you in your marriage, and men should be the Lord's husband, and women should be the Lord's wives in marriage. You respond to the Lord, not to the spouse. And then healing will take place. Marriage is tough sometimes. Billy Graham's wife asked, what's the hardest part of marriage? And she answered, it is so daily. Billy Graham's daughter once said, and I try to live by this in my marriage. Number one, love God first in your marriage. Number two, love marriage second. Number three, love your marriage, love your spouse third. And Billy Graham had been married for over 60 years because marriage takes maintenance. Hey, here's a question. If you knew after you got out of high school you were going to get one car for the rest of your life, what would it look like? You would change the oil, the brakes, wax and polish it, take care of it because it's the only car that you're ever going to have. Would you maintain it and not treat it the way you would treat your car today? You only get one model. Take care of them. Maintain them. Husbands, be the high priest of the home. Make sure the word of God is the standard in your home. Don't be a Pharisee, but a wise steward, which I have been guilty of being more of a Pharisee in my marriage than a wise steward. I recognize that today. Guard our TVs, guard our computers, protect the home. Marriage is hard. And where there is sickness and you watch your spouse hurting and in pain, you pray and you wish the pain could be yours instead of theirs. It's hard when there are disagreements, when you bang heads, but to look back and say I would do it all over again to me is blasphemous. God is sovereign. He knows what He called you to. There are difficult times in my marriage, but I am blessed and I am thankful to have my wife. Which I want to close with this. Sometimes in our marriages we can get so lost and we can get so caught up in different things and we can wind up, you know, falling away from our marriages. I want to close by praying for our spouses today. That maybe our spouse has gone wayward. Maybe they've chosen to leave. Maybe they've chosen to, you know, your spouse could be living in the same house with you, but then still leave the marriage. I want to pray that our marriages are strengthened. And husbands, it may be our fault that our spouse has left. And that God needs to heal the things in our lives so that our spouses can be healed and that we can return and we can have healthy marriages together. Because it may not be all your fault, and I want you to realize that too today, spouse. You may have been a great wife or even a great husband, but just remember this. Yes, we do make mistakes in our marriages. But remember, if your spouse left, it probably isn't all your fault. That there are probably things in your spouse's life that they're dealing with and that they have issues with that aren't just the cause of them leaving your marriage. But I want to pray for all those things because all those things need healing. If we've made mistakes, we need to heal. And the mistakes that we haven't made but that caused our spouses to leave, our spouses need to heal. So let's pray for those things right now. Lord, we want to be couples at work. We want to work together, Lord, but sometimes our spouses leave and we can't do that. So Lord, I pray, Father, right now that you would heal our spouses, that you would heal us, that, Father, there are issues in our lives, Lord, that need healing, that need to be surrendered to you, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to surrender them today. And that as we surrender them to you, Lord, that you would heal us. But Lord, our spouses, they need healing as well. And Father, if there are problems in this marriage today, in any marriage today, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be with them. To those who are listening to the podcast today, I pray, Lord, that you would heal their marriages. That you would help these spouses to recognize. And Lord, that you would help them to be strong enough to go to counseling together and to seek counseling. Good biblical counseling together. where they can grow and they can learn to be better husbands and better wives and better units in that Yakud that we talked about last week. And Father, in that I thank you and I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please listen to us or subscribe by going to newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or like us on iTunes. Thank you very much. I hope your marriages go well this week. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.